Brett and Kate, come on up. I want to introduce you to some special friends of mine. And these guys have been ministering to our church since Friday night. And I've got a couple of questions for you. So, Kate, there's your little microphone. And I get to know them before Brett speaks to us. Hey, guys. How long have you been married? Brett first.
32 years.
Kate?
32 years.
Ah, we're on the same page. That's a good thing.
In a row.
32 years in a row.
Yep. No hiccups.
Okay, that's pretty outstanding. Tell us about your family.
We've got 3 married sons. We've got 2 grandbabies and another one due in July. So
2.85 grandbabies.
Yeah, we're expanding. It's very exciting.
Yeah, that is exciting. And where do you live?
In a house.
That's good.
In Melbourne, in Victoria.
That's fantastic. In a house in Melbourne, Victoria.
Yeah.
Fantastic. How did we first get to know one another?
At the church at Canterbury Gardens. We started going there and then you left. So I don't know.
Yeah. 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 Well designed, that was, I thought. Yeah. Hey, what do you guys do prior to being involved with the Ministry of Focus on the Family? We'll talk about focus in a minute, but I want to know what you did prior to that.
So. Okay, so I was a teacher for 24 years, and when Brett left to become CEO, I felt called to go with him, and so we've been working with Focus on the Family together since then.
I was a critical care nurse for 15 years, and I majored in intensive care and accident emergency, and in pediatrics. I worked at the Royal Children's Hospital for a while. Then I became a kids pastor for another 12 years, and then I took on the role at Focus on the Family 9 years ago.
Yeah. Okay, well, what is Focus on the Family? For those of us who don't know anything about it, can you explain it to us in a couple of sentences? You know, what's your purpose statement? What's it all about?
Well, I'm just going to say it's a privilege.
Okay.
It's an absolute privilege to be called into this ministry. We raised our kids on Focus on the Family back in the day, and so to then be called to run the Australian
Life. So is it a meal? You said you raised your kids on Focus on the Family.
It's not a meal.
Okay.
So we used to listen to James Dobson. A lot of you will have heard of him. And so we raised our kids using James Dobson's method, God's method. And so to be then called into this ministry ourselves, we feel so privileged.
Mm. Our mission statement is to make Christ known as we strengthen relationships in Australian families. And we do that in a variety of ways. Most people know us through the radio. And for those who, this is what my face looks like. I've got a face for radio. And
I'm pleased you're not on telly, really.
Yeah.
People laugh at that and they go,
yeah, you really don't look like anything we anticipated. So I apologise for that in advance. But we also do public presentations like this. We also have a YouTube channel. We also have a Facebook and our website. We have probably over 120,000 people looking for us every year, just looking for advice on healthy families and healthy relationships. Mm. And we talk about topical issues that relate to the family and relate to relationships. But we all want just families to thrive and be the very best they possibly can be.
That's wonderful. Now, on the back table on your way out, there is there's some information. What's that information entail?
There'll be just something about a video platform called FamilyCast, and that's all for free, and that's been made possible through the generosity of people who have invested in the relationship of making more families strengthened. And so this video platform has a variety of things, and that's always for free, and Christians love things for free. Then we also some resources for some parents. I didn't bring everything, all our resources, but just 2 books in particular. One is just a little devotional book, a little prayer book for daddies with their little boys or little girls, and that costs $10. And there's another book on pornography for 6 to 8 year olds and 8 to 12 year olds, and it's called Good Pictures, Bad Pictures. And we need to be more proactive rather than reactive, because it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when your children will be exposed. So there's a variety of few things.
Fantastic. And just so you know, we copied and taped the session on Friday night and the sessions on Saturday. So if anybody would like to have a look at that, please contact the office and we can run some copies off for you. Well worthwhile. Speak to some of the folks that were there. We really thank you for what you did there. Well, guys, I want to pray for you, and then the pulpit is yours, right. Sort of. And
we won't keep it.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Because if we come, you might leave. We don't want to cause that. To
yeah, that's fantastic. Let's pray together. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the ministry of Focus on the Family. We thank you for Kate and Brand, who work so diligently in that ministry, have a heart to make Christ known through this ministry. Father, we thank you for the time that we've spent over this weekend discussing principles around parenting. And Father, we just pray now that as we come under the instruction of your word, that you will move us by your spirit, you'll convict us where conviction's needed, encourage us and exhort us to be parents who are Christ-centered and focused on what your word says in our lives. So thank you now for this time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
I'm going to read from the book of Proverbs, just a few Proverbs that are related to families, and as we know, many of them are. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn from evil. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Where there is no guidance, a people falls full, but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. Fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others. Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. The righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who brings shame is like rottenness in his bones. You should be faithful to your wife, just as you take water from your own well. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. An excellent wife who can find. She is far more precious than jewels.
Much. Kate made me say those last few verses to make sure that they were well and truly set in place. I'm really pleased that there are going to be a few kids in the service. As a former kids pastor and a pediatric nurse, I don't mind the restlessness. So kids, don't be embarrassed if your mums and dads wriggle a little bit more and they don't sit still. It's okay. So just allow the kids just to, mums and dads do get a bit restless in the service. Has anyone ever here made a poor decision? Anyone here made a poor decision? We've all made mistakes. We've all done things that we would, if we had a chance to do it all over again, we'd do things a little bit differently. We've made either financial errors, we've either made a career decision choice, we've either done something to our brothers and sisters and we've picked on them and we shouldn't have done that, or we said something and did something. Not you, some other children, not you. But the most common denominator of poor choices is you were there when you made them. It's common for us all that we all have made choices and we were present when they were made. And maybe we made those choices because we wanted to be happy. We wanted instantaneous gratification. we weren't looking at the bigger picture when it came to those things. And we all have made those decisions from time to time, and if we had our moment again, we might do things a little bit differently. Has anyone here would like to be wise in every area of your life? Yeah, I think so. Starting from a very young age to a very mature age, we all would like to be wise in every area of our lives, whether it's our future studies, whether it's our future boyfriend and girlfriend, maybe future wife or husband, whether it's our career we would choose and what job we should take and where should live or just life in general. I used to think that smart people were wise people. Has anyone ever thought that? But I've discovered that's not the case, and you've probably discovered that as well. Wisdom is not the same thing as knowledge. Some people equate facts and truths and knowledge to, and if we apply that information, it will go well with us. But we have also observed that that's not always the case. In fact, we need godly wisdom, knowing what's good for us and applying that knowledge to our everyday life and understanding that life from a God perspective. I read this and I don't fully understand it, but I thought I'd read it out to you because it was on the internet, and everything on the internet is always accurate. So it says, nanotechnology or knowledge is doubling every 2 years and clinical knowledge every 18 months. Our average human knowledge is doubling every 13 months. And it has been calculated because of the internet, it will result in doubling our knowledge every 12 hours. Despite our knowledge increasing at an exponential rate, we find our culture continues to make numerous mistakes. It results in great heartache and trauma, and especially when it comes to relationships. We need wisdom, godly wisdom, in every aspect of our lives. And to get this, well, we're going to explore one book, the book of Proverbs. And as Kate read out just a few moments ago, it's really a potpourri of different verses, and they're scattered everywhere. And you have to keep on hunting them and finding them and how they can apply to our everyday life. It says from the book of Proverbs, and everyone, we had this read out just a few moments ago, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, this word fear can conjure up different things. And sometimes we can think of fear as being scared. But the healthy or the God-reverent fear of the God is a different posture. And just for an image there, it's sort of like a fear could be sometimes considered back off. Ah! But a reverent fear is a posture of ah. So I thought, well, maybe just everyone to do this, a posture of reverent fear of God. Ah! You can do better than that. Do it a bit better. Ah! Yeah, just get your dad to do it better as well. When we have godly wisdom, and it results in how we recognize reality and respond to reality, and how we recognize good and evil, and to learn to hate evil because we know that God hates evil, and more we develop that relationship that's founded in the reverent fear of God. And every time I say fear, you can go, just in case. Keep you on your toes. And we want our ways to be like His ways. We want to learn to think His thoughts. The fear of the Lord really is the beginning of wisdom. And it helps shape us and shapes how we respond to ourselves, to one another, and to the life in this world. But before we get into what I would really like to share with you is that how do we get such wisdom? And there's three things. One is we have to desire it. We have to want it. We can't just say, give me wisdom. It doesn't work that way. We need to actually desire wisdom. And actually says in Proverbs to seek it, to cherish it, to treasure it. And once you have it, hold on to it. Treat it with high value. And it's an ongoing conversation to always seek God's wisdom in every choice that we make. We need to pray for wisdom. In fact, if you don't have wisdom and you would like a little bit more, ask God for it. for those, it says in the book of James, if you lack wisdom, and I bet you know someone who lacks wisdom. Not you, but it'll be somebody else. And you say, well, you should pray for that. But where to do that? And then to read and study in His Word. And we're going to study a little bit, just a little bit, and it's by no means exhaustive. We're going to look at the book of Proverbs and how it applies to our everyday life. Now, there's so many different areas. It talks about finances. It talks about technology. Yes, even technology. It doesn't actually use the word technology, but it looks about what you put through your eyes. And it also looks at how we do friendship and how we manage our family and our relationships. And that's, in fact, where I'd like to focus on. And so that's why my message was called Wisdom for Family Relationships. And obviously there are people in this room that might say, well, I'm not married, it's not applicable to me. Or I don't have kids, it's not applicable to me. But I would encourage you just to open up your minds and to encourage you to lean in, because there'll be something for everyone, every age, every stage, there'll be something that you can go home with and you can say, I could do that. Or you can actually point the finger to somebody else and say, you should do that. So let's start off with kids, all right? It starts just the kids and parents. So you can focus on this. This is something, and your parent, just be aware, if you start pointing the finger, there's three other fingers pointing back at you. So be aware. It says in the book of Proverbs to hear and to listen to your father's instructions. And do not forget your mother's teaching. Amen. Do I hear that from any parents at the moment? It's wise to make your father glad, and it is foolish to make your mother sad. Sounds like a Dr. Seuss type of thing as well. How many of you can say their aim in life is to let your mum rejoice because she bore you in the world? Anyone? Anyone at all? Believe it or not, kids, you do not know everything. And you might think you do, and maybe some of the teens say, I do. I know everything. In fact, that's a process, and I mentioned this at a parenting seminar, it's a process called individuation, where you think you know it all. And you're trying to find out where you fit into the world. And you're saying, back off, Mum and Dad. I've got this. I know this. I can do it myself. Anyone remember when you were a teenager, when you may have said something like that? Yeah. And if you don't listen to them, it can lead to all sorts of challenges. Mark Twain, many of you might know this as a writer in America, he actually said, when I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I turned 21, I was astonished at how much the old man had learned in 7 years. We have this growth. We have these different things. We think we know it all. But I can tell you what, you should use your mother and father's life experience, or not even mums and dads, just people who have got life experience, and glean from them, because they have experienced things and we can learn from them. It says in Proverbs 11, where there is no guidance, a people falls. So we all need guidance. But in an abundance of counselors, and if you've got mum and dad, they are two counselors right in your front and backyard, and even in your house, that they can actually counsel you, and you can listen to them. And he even goes on to say, whoever isolates himself seeks his own disaster. He breaks out against all sound judgment. We shouldn't do life in isolation. We need other people in our world speaking the truth in love. And so it's important, if you're a little one or a big one, is to listen to other people. Doing things in our own wisdom and knowledge without consulting others only leads to your own harm and potentially the harm around those around you. And this applies not only to children, but it also applies to us. We need to seek wisdom, experience from others, learn from their wins and from their mistakes. You personally don't have to go through everything to learn a great lesson for it. In fact, you can actually get a PhD in life by watching and listening and observing others. I was speaking with a mature age woman just last week and celebrating. We invited our mothers to Mother's Day, and another woman, sort of like a surrogate grandmother. We just invited her along. And she actually shared, she's in her 80s, and she said that her mother told her not to marry this man. But she didn't listen because she was in love. She knew better. I'll do it myself. She did get married, and then she actually endured 20 years of pain. And that all could have been avoided if she had actually listened and heeded to her mother's instruction. And then as a bonus for you, how many kids here know how to annoy their brothers and sisters? Anyone here? Thank you. I see your hands. There'll be an altar call later on here, and we'll pray against and rebuke this. In Jesus' name, the sibling rivalry. We all, and I bet you the older people say, I know how to do that as well. You see your pupils dilate and go, yeah, I know how to do that. But it actually says in Proverbs, a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity. It's really hard to be there for somebody when they're going through a hard time, when you're fighting and bickering. We need each other. We need one another. We can do some banter. We can talk about first Proverbs and, first Philippians and get away with it, or Philippians. But we need each other. And then there's another great verse. And I actually listened to a podcast, and I would love to be able to do the accent of the guy. He was from Scotland. And I'll read it out like I heard it for the first time. And it was from Proverbs. He goes, a brother offended is more unyielding than a strong city. And quarreling is like the bars of a castle. I thought it was really good in my mind. But I actually thought, it's basically like words hurt. Your siblings, we need to do life together. And life is too short to leave it for bickering and fighting and annoying and pushing those buttons. We need to, because the words of a brother hurt, it says. And we need godly wisdom to do that. Now, that's the first group. The second group is, and this is for parents. So any parents here? Yep, this is for you. All right. If you want your children to listen to your wise counsel, to respect you, you also need to start with, what are we saying? The fear of the Lord. Ah, good. Just text again. As we put him first and see things from his perspective, it provides us to tap into the supernatural to know what to say, when to say things, and how to say things. And I will do a little caveat here. Kids, your mum and dad are going to make mistakes. Yeah, they're not perfect. I know that comes with a bit of a shock. And mums and dads, guess what? Your kids aren't perfect as well. They're going to make mistakes. And we have to show one another grace, unmerited favor. Mums and dads, it does talk about your role as parents. And in the scriptures, it says to instruct, to train. And it starts with living a life of integrity, to walk righteously, to walk above reproach. Because a kid will smell a hypocrite a mile away. In fact, of the top three reasons why young people leave the church, they would say, I saw hypocrisy. May not be from mum and dad, but they saw hypocrisy. When people say something and they didn't walk the talk or walk the talk and walk the walk. There's a saying, I get it all wrong, but there's a saying, and you know what I'm talking about. And they want you to be genuine. They want you to be authentic. They want you to be real. And as you do this, you earn the right to discipline them. And discipline is another form of discipleship, to bring them up into an understanding of who God is, and show how much you're shaping and molding their character. Where it says, train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Remembering this is only a proverb. It's not a promise. There's no guarantees. There's not a money-backing guarantee. But if you came here on the weekend and heard Kate and I, and shame on you for not turning up, by the way. We were outstanding. But we talked about train up a child in the way that they are hardwired, the way that they are uniquely designed by God. And you have to parent that accordingly. And when we are students of our kids, we understand what makes them tick, what drives them, what motivates them. And then you can discipline them accordingly. Your role as parents is to disciple your children. And my favorite verse that I use often as a kids pastor, and you probably know it well, is from Deuteronomy chapter 6. Where it says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And then it says have it in your own heart and then impress it upon your children. And then if I elaborated this a little more in the 21st century, where it talks about when you sit at home, when you are walking along the road, when you're lying down, when you're driving them to soccer or football or to music and to school, there are plenty of opportunities to impress your children, to make God a 24/7. It's an ongoing relationship. It's not just an event on the weekends. And we have opportunities all the time to teach them and to role model what it means to love God and to love His church. And kids, I'm just going to go back to your kids in a minute. I know you didn't want to hear this, but it's their job to discipline you. I know. Don't shoot the messenger. I'm just using what the God. And it says that you need to have boundaries. It needs to have consequences. And it means that you're continuing to shape and mold them to be what God wants them to be. Unfortunately, there's some academics that are looking towards, you know, just allow our children to express themselves. Maybe just to allow them more freedom to choose and make them happy. You know, how's this working out for us in our culture today? We could go on a lot of challenges where we see more risky behaviors, more behavior, more rebellious behavior. We see children becoming more entitled. So it's not really working. So if we drifted away from God's word and His wisdom from the scriptures, we get into all sorts of challenges. But that happens in other churches, not in this church, obviously. Just other churches. Yeah. And I think it's really important that as we have looked at the different forms from kid to parents and now the parents to the kids, we're going to look at how God made babies so you can have parents and kids in the same thing. So the ideal. So I want you, even if you are not married, I want you to lean in. But if you are married, I want you to lean in even more. When we set our wedding vows before everyone, before God and before our family and friends, people really meant it when they said, for richer and poorer, sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, from this day forward. And they really meant it. But somewhere along the line, those things, and a room this size, there'll be people that they meant those words, but circumstances beyond their control, things didn't go to plan. And I am so very sorry if that is your journey. But for those who are married, it's good to refresh and remind yourself, because there's the highs and lows of marriage bring an assortment of different experiences and different ways of doing life. And again, we need to start with the fear of the Lord. Thank you very much. Someone's on top, yeah. Because let's face it, marriage is wonderful. I mean, I love being married to this woman. She is my number one cheerleader, my number one critic, my number one encourager. I love doing life with her. And there's times when, let's face it, I may not be that lovable, but yet she loves me. That's when you go, ah, she loves me. That was hopeless. But marriage is its own form of discipleship and its own form of discipline. I've learned to be more selfless. I've learned to be more service orientated. And learn to love unconditionally. And it's not always easy. Some people get the idea, once I find Mr. or Mrs. Right, then life is complete. It's not that way. You know, we just love each other. We will never fight. I've heard many people say that. Anyone had a relationship and never had a fight? I've had people come to us and contact us at Focus on the Family and says, I never saw my parents argue. And then after the honeymoon, we argue all the time. I've married the wrong person. A healthy relationship is not the absence of conflict. It's how we resolve conflict in a God-honoring way. But there are times when it is very difficult. And, you know, we're not always lovable, but when those young people say, well, when I find Mr. and Mrs. Right, and that's going to be made, and I'm complete, we need to make sure that we're complete in Christ, our identity in Christ, not with another person. But we finish each other's sentences. We're made for each other. And if you've watched Frozen, finish each other's sandwiches. And all the kids will know that thing. Let it go. But we've all fallen short in our relationships, just like we've all fallen short in our relationship with God. But yet He loves us unconditionally. Now, I'm not saying that you put up with abuse. That's not what I'm saying. But we need to look past the flaws and to love the person who God has created them to be. Proverbs speaks about marriage being a good thing, to rejoice in the wife of your youth, to be faithful, to honour one another. Your wife is like a crown. She asked me to say that again. And she is more precious than jewels. Do you see your marriage like that for those who are married? For those who want to be married, would you like to see your marriage to be like that, to see how precious and how real and how valuable that person is? I don't always fulfill my role as a husband. In fact, there are times when my wife says something to me, and somewhere along the line, I just tune out. Any other tuner out people here? Confessions. It doesn't really give the great message that I'm really valuing her or hearing her. And in fact, it sends a subliminal message that I'm ignoring her. And that's not what I want to do. In fact, that's the opposite of what I do. And so we're all a work in progress. We're all a work in progress. But when we go through the ups and downs, and research has actually said that when couples that go through the difficult times and they see them through actually strengthens a relationship. It actually bonds them together. It draws them closer together. And they come through happier and healthier as a result. But unfortunately, in our culture today, many people say, well, they're not making me happy. I'll go and find something or someone that will fill that need. And that leads to more damage to them and those around them. It talks about we should be faithful just to your wife. And this is something that in our culture today is happening, unfortunately, far too often. Just as you take water from your own well. And people go, what's the mean there? There was another version. I read this. Drink water from your own cistern. Doesn't that sound delicious? Flowing water from your own well. It really means we need to stay faithful for the person that we have committed ourselves, that we've said those vows to. To divert our eyes and not even consider another option. Unfortunately, with technology, people are looking at things that are inappropriate and actually draws people away, not draws them closer together. God's wisdom is to say, remain faithful, stay true to your wife of your youth. We know the devastation when that doesn't go to plan. And that's why we need God's love. That's why we need God's wisdom. That's why we need to follow His example and how much He loves us and be able to love Him to others. Could you imagine a world where everyone remained faithful, where everyone cherished and valued their spouse in the way that the Scriptures have actually instructed us? We need to all recommit our lives and to have the reverent fear of the Lord. As we draw closer to Him and as our love for Him grows, and we talk about the vertical relationship, it enables us and our horizontal relationships to grow as well, including the way that we love our spouse, the way that we love our kids, and kids, how we love our parents. As we draw closer to God and glean from Him, it enables us to do that even more as God has instructed us. So really, in my final thoughts here, this is all just wisdom. This is the biblical principles, but this is not made possible unless we all have an understanding of where we sit in the world. So a little evaluation I would like to do for you as you're going home today at lunchtime to have this discussion. Kids, I would love for you to ask your mums and dads, am I listening to you well? Am I heeding your advice? And don't be defensive, allow them to share what they think. Mums and dads, why don't you actually ask your kids, am I being a good role model? Am I helping and shaping you and disciplining you as God wants us to do in love? And husbands and wives, ask each other, am I valuing you? Do you feel cherished? Do you feel valued? All of this is in the scriptures. We're to follow that. And it's good to get an evaluation of where we are at with our relationships. To know where our strengths are and where we've got some areas of growth. But finally, the final questions we need to ask is, how is your relationship with God? Are you trying to be wise in your own eyes? Are you doing things in your own strength? Are you certain of where you stand with God? As I said before, we've all fallen short of our ideal. We've all sinned. We cannot earn ourselves into heaven. We cannot earn merit and favor. It's all under, and what we heard in the wonderful songs today, it's in his blood, his sacrifice. And he sacrificed his life so that we may have life. I'm not too sure where you can answer those questions, but I would encourage you, if you're not too sure, to speak to Pastor Nathan or any of the team here, that just to ask that question. I'm not too sure where I sit. I'm not too sure. I've been doing things in my own strength. I've been doing things in my own wisdom. I've got to lay down my wants and I hand them over to allow God to be the Lord of my life. It doesn't mean that everything's going to go rosy. It doesn't mean that everything's going to go perfect. It doesn't mean that you're going to live a protected life. You're going to go through hard times. We all go through hard times. But I don't know how people would do life without having a relationship with God. It's not about being good. It's not about your intellect. It's not about your abilities. It's about what the Lord did for you and for me. And as we've said before, we need to think his thoughts. We need to act like he would act. We like to think like he would think. And all that starts is with a reverent fear of the Lord. For it is the beginning of wisdom. Let me pray. Father God, I just thank you so much for all the families here represented, and maybe allow some of my words penetrate even the most cynical of hearts, or even just soften some of the hearts, to know how we should do life and family relationship as you would like us to do. Love, to cherish, to value, to train, to discipline, to be able to listen to instruction. All of this, we give it entirely over to you. We cannot do it on our own. We need the reverent fear of God. We ask for this in the most precious, most wonderful name. Amen.